All right. For those of you listening, this is Podcaster Month. I wanted to talk to my podcasting family. And actually, this is the first person I'm speaking to from Bumming with Bobcat. Bob, who has, see, you can't see this because I only do an audio podcast. He has a, we're recording this via Zoom, and he has a picture of a bobcat that looked like, for his icon, that basically looks like it just ate a family. And
oh, he's a nice guy. Come on. Don't be hating on the bobcat there. He just wants to have fun.
Well, what you need to do is you need to take this photo and then draw some blood on his face. That's the only thing missing is some blood on his face, which is hilarious, you know. But this is an interesting thing because I've been doing this for since 1973, and
the original podcaster right here. Look at this. This was back on your handheld tape recorder, and
yeah, it used to be called Satcasting, but I'm going to have to talk to Apple about that. We're pending a lawsuit.
Yeah. I know you can't divulge too much information right now, but we'll be waiting to hear the outcome.
Yeah, I'll probably just get one free iPhone from them now.
Yeah, if you're lucky. Yeah, you think they're going to give up a free iPhone? Yeah, good luck with that one.
End of life iPhone. I'll get iPhone 17S. 18 is coming out, so it'll be nice and slow.
Yeah. So right as they slow it down, oh, yeah, here, this one's brand new. They're like, all right, awesome, a new iPhone 17. And the next day, iPhone 18 release. You're like, damn it, I was so close.
And it's pre-cracked screen, too.
Yeah.
Now, like all of the services. Now, you are 229 episodes into 30?
Yeah, I think probably by the time this one hits the masses, we might be at 229, 230. It's tough to keep track. I mean, you know, it's like, how many episodes do I have now? Yeah, they all run together after a while, but it's fun, so you keep doing it.
Yeah, I'm only accurate to the 100.
Yeah, once you say, okay, I'm at episode 200 something, then other people are like, oh, cool, that's awesome.
And then they see it's 293, you're like, you dumb bastard, you should have said almost 300.
Like, hey, I can't, sometimes you can't count, you're rounding up, down, carry the one, it's not a math podcast, okay?
Well, that's my next podcast, no, I'm just kidding. Two's enough. But I got to ask you this, because you have the podcast, you know, you have the alcoholic beverages, you rate them. I'm assuming, obviously, after all this time, you have to be a really big connoisseur of the foot juice. So
I try to be, and as we start this now, I got to crack something open as we speak. This is a new one that will be hitting the website over at bumwinebob.com. Mm-hmm. And I kind of teased it. And I don't know, by the time your podcast goes live, this might be on the website. It might not yet. It might be a little tease. But this is the MD 2020 Spiked Punch Sweet Blue Raspberry. So this is the new kid on the block right here.
Okay, let's see what we got there. Let's see what you got.
See, this is it tastes very similar to a blue raspberry icy, you know, the old ice things. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's pretty smooth. It's 12% alcohol, so it will give you a nice little buzz off of it. A 16-ounce can, so I'm giving you a little mini review here to bring the people into who might not know me and what we do. This is what you get on Bumming with Bobcat.
are you a one drink per episode? Do you just rate one drink per episode?
For the most part, yes. I try to focus on one beverage. It's usually whatever beverage of the week. Now that doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes it expands and it might carry over to a second week or a third week or a month, depending on what I can get my hands on and what new stuff I can find. But when I do record and I do feature a beverage, I try to do one. Sometimes we'll throw in a second one, but I try to focus on mostly one.
Because that was a thing that I was worrying about, because I'm going hundreds of episodes in. Where in the blue hell do you find all of the beverages? Because you have to have obviously a ton of them, you know. And I mean, are there that many, or are they coming online that fast, or there's always new beverages coming on?
It's really you pick and choose. Now, it's not always new stuff. Sometimes it's old stuff that are classics that you might have forgotten about, mm-hmm. and you say, "Oh, here I found this. This is, you know, whatever, a vintage." A Steel Reserve, we'll say, or something cheap that's a classic. Now, while there is 230 some odd episodes, not every single episode features a beverage to pair with it, but you're probably looking at about half of them that might have a beverage that's paired. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's really going out there and searching, and that's a lot of the fun I have, is going out to liquor stores and searching the shelves, looking to see, okay, what's new, what's something I haven't had before, just something that is exciting to me to try for the first time, or something that I haven't had in years. It's all about the thrill of the chase, I guess we could say.
Have you slid into the microbreweries?
Not so much. Now, I focus mostly on the bottom shelf when it comes to alcohol and beer, but every once in a while I'll throw in a craft beer or something a little higher class. Now, we're certainly not going top shelf here. We're not going to be reviewing any $100 bottles of wine, or, you know, your high end hard alcohols. Now, if somebody would like to send over a bottle, I'm more than happy to indulge in it. but yeah, it's I'm always looking for new ideas, new things to try. So people are always welcome to send over a request or something that they think would be a good fit for the show.
Yeah, because that was one of the things that I found, you know, kind of funny. It's just the simple fact that it's you know, the ASMR, like, hold on, you need to pop the can.
That is that. That's what I make sure to do. What I like, I just did for you. You got that tease right there, where I, you know, cracked it open, and then sometimes, you know, you pour it out. Like, I got a, you know, I got a glass here with some ice in it, and you can, you know, pour it in that cup. Hear it fizz a little bit. You get all those sounds, then you take that little breather to take a sip. Mm-hmm. And as people sit there and they wait patiently for the result. So it's the trade-off of dead air and silence while you while you drink it, compared to that anticipation of, okay, what's the verdict on the drink?
Now, you had so many different things over the course of the show. You got 100 to 230 shows. You said roughly half has been a different beverage on half of the programs. So at this particular time, having done so many, having tasted so many things, you're out, you're hanging with your friends, you're at a bar, you're watching the game, you have any choice of anything you can drink for personal consumption, not to do with the show, but something that you go, I'm going to drink this. This is what I want. What do you actually put in your face?
Oh, man. Now, it's tough, because usually if I'm just hanging out, relaxing, I'm usually just a regular beer drinker, and I'll just drink, you know, like a PBR, mm-hmm. just something cheap, basic, like that. I'm not one. While I feature a lot of the cheap booze and bum wines, malt liquors,
perhaps Blue Ribbon.
Yeah, a little PBR action.
That's not what I thought you. No, you know what? Maybe I did think you were going to say that, because I figured. Only reason they say it is because I know people that are. They love. I can't stand the taste of beer. I don't like it. I like wine coolers. Okay.
Okay. I was going to ask you. I was going to say, what's your go-to, you know, alcoholic beverage?
Because I like the fruity taste. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I was on a date. This is like 1935. I was on this date with this lady, and things were going well. And she goes, "Would you?" She gets a Long Island iced tea. At the time, I didn't know what that was.
Which is, you're like, okay, yeah, nice tea. All right,
oh, yeah, this is going to be great. I could smell the rum as the waitress. And I thought there was someone else's drink. She puts it on the table. I'm going, what the hell is this?
I think you mixed up, miss. You mixed up the drink. Can you give us the correct one? No, that's it.
I was like, wow, I hope nobody's smoking cigarettes next to me because the whole damn table's going to blow up. I gave it to her. She drank it, and I can't drink this, man. It was just too much. But because my friends always make fun of me because, oh, look at that Saint Anthony. What a punk with his wine cooler. It's your punk ass. I'm like, come on, man. You know what I mean? At a sports bar. We watching the UFC fight, and you drinking a damn wine cooler. You should kick your ass. I mean, come on, man. You know, it's like, come on now. You know, it's like, you know, and because I'm always the designated driver, so I can't really, you know. So, yeah, because they drink and they, you know, so it's like that. But I just,
right,
I just
you're doing the service for them. You say, okay, I'll have, you know, one drink, you know, my basic wine cooler. You guys, you know, go get hammered. I'll drive you home. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, what do you want me to do? I'm not going to be sitting here doing shots.
Yeah, oh,
and you're not going to be, you know, getting some like an LIT and they smelling the booze off of it.
But the thing about it is, because usually we're there like 4,000 hours. So it's like the one wine cooler early in the day. By the time I'm out, I still blow clean, you know, if I was to ever get pulled over. Because I just, you know, because I knock it down and then I don't touch any alcohol after. But usually I don't even have any alcohol if I know I'm going to be driving. So, but the thing is, because they know I'm going to be driving and they know I won't let anything happen to them, they really go to town.
Well, that's it. You can go balls to the wall at that point. If you know there's no chance I have to drive, I'm not responsible. I can just drink and drink and drink and drink some more because I know that you'll be able to get me home safe. Awesome. And that's a good thing. You're doing a great job. The world needs more people like you. That will do that for him.
I'm the second smallest of the group. You know, I'm only 5'8", man. So some of these dudes are huge. You know, like, oh God, I got to drag this big bastard into the car.
Trying to reason and say, hey man, you know, we're leaving now. Come on, no. One more drink. It's like, no man, we're going now. And trying to drag him out of the bar.
Oh God.
You know, kicking and screaming. I think we've all been there. As long as you don't have those friends, like I have a few that get the beer muscles and try to, you know, pick fights with people. That's always fun, especially if you're the sober one trying to deal with that, trying to defuse the situation. Let's go. Come on.
I have whole episodes telling stories about that. If you ask me, did a guy really pick you up and throw you? Yes, the guy picked me up and threw me.
It happened.
Yeah, but the thing was, he wasn't mad at me because he saw it was reasonable. So I called it ass whipping light is what I called it, because he picked me up and kind of tossed me. That's how big this was Vince McMahon would have loved this dude. You know, I mean, not current Vince McMahon. I'm talking about 80s Vince McMahon with Hulk Hogan.
He sees the big jacked up dude and is like, I need this guy. Get him on the show.
Hey, get that wimp Andre the Giant out of here and get this guy that picked up S. Anthony. Because this guy had to have been close to seven. He had to have been about 7 foot tall and he didn't want to hurt me. So he just kind of, I was like, you have kids?
I do, yes.
Okay. So I'm sure you've picked your kid up and playfully tossed them onto the couch at least once.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was like that. Now I'm a grown ass man getting playfully tossed across the room, you know, but that's the thing. But that was back in, you know, 30 years ago when I was in my 20s. But it's just, that's what I was thinking about this. Now, when you do the show, oh, you can't really even have, I mean, do you have guests in front of you, or is it always Zoom or phone or something like that?
It's probably 99.9% has been either Zoom or virtual or some remote conversation. I think I've only done a few that had, and that was mainly just with friends of mine. Either we were drinking one night and decided, hey, let's record a podcast, or I was away on vacation and we were all hanging out and said, oh yeah, we'll do a podcast together. And other than that, I've never had real guests in person to record. It's always been virtually Zoom, Skype, phone, wherever. Mm-hmm. That's usually where it comes from. So I can meet with people all over the world.
That is the best part. It really is. You know, because the thing is, like, your show would actually probably lend itself. Well, I guess the show too, because it's a talk show. It would probably lend itself to having people there, because I was preparing when I got my stuff to have stuff where people would be where I am, and I'm like, what are you, an idiot? It's hard enough to line up with guests when they're on the phone. You're going to expect them to...
Exactly. You want them to show up at your place and be here and on time and ready and, you know, get the mics ready, get the levels all set, and have them not, you know, be bored to death during that whole process. At least you do it online. You have everything set up beforehand. They connect in. You hit record. You're good to go.
Yeah, this is going to be a good month because everybody that I talk to this month knows exactly what's going on.
Exactly. And I get to be the first one. I get to be the guinea pig.
Yeah.
Of the process.
But by the way, I'm actually have you distracted. There's several people outside right now. They're going to come in and beat you down.
Oh, see, they're not taking my MD 2020. It's sitting here with me. All right. They're not going to pry this from me.
There was a part where I didn't think that was a real drink.
Really?
Yeah.
was it because you're like, who would drink this and how would this be real? I mean, I could see that.
It's just the name. I went, that's not real. Come on. There's no way in the world somebody. It's like when I would watch episodes of Sanford and Son and they talk about a place called Fat Burger.
Right.
I'm going, there's no Fat Burger. Then when I moved to LA, oh my God, there's a Fat Burger.
Fat Burger. And one of the classic Bum Wines was featured on Sanford and Son. That was Ripple. That was one of the original cheap Bum Wines was Ripple, and that was featured on Sanford and Son. So you got two. You're two for two on that show.
I also didn't believe that was real. If I had to believe one of the two was real, I would have gone with the Mad Dog 2020. And yeah, but I got to know.
I never got to have Ripple.
Ah, I was just going to ask you that because I want to know what the hell it tastes like.
I don't even know when they stopped producing it. I mean, you have to think when Sanford and Son was, you know, running, you know, shows in the 70s. And I don't think any time past at least the 90s, I don't think it's been out there, but I've never had the chance. And if there is a bottle out there still, yes. I don't think that's going to end well.
I was going to say, it's probably next to a bottle of High Karate Cologne.
Yeah. And at this point, they probably taste the same.
Yeah, they probably tasted the same then. They probably just went,
well, yeah.
We made a little bit too much Ripple. Could you put it in these cologne bottles, please? And
we'll just put a little scent in there. It doesn't quite smell like alcohol as much, but just, it smells good. Put it out in the shelves.
Now, this is something I got to ask you, too, because I know this is a weird mini story, just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. You familiar with the cereal Cookie Crisp?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I used to love that when I was younger. And then I found, as an adult, I went, yeah, I'm not spending $7 on that. So so I go to one of those discount stores, and they have, you know, how they always have the knockoff version, mm-hmm. Jookie Jisp, you know, Cookie Crumble, you know.
Yeah, just cookies.
He's
just
like, hey.
Cookie cereal.
You know, have a mascot that kind of looks like the, you know, it's, you know. And I ate it, and it was half as good as Cookie Crisp for $2.
Okay.
Instead of $7. Now, what I want to find out from you is, when you go, say, bottom shelf to middle shelf, okay, I know you sprinkled some of those in there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is the difference between them some, like, say, bottom shelf, what, 8, 9, 10 bucks, 11 bucks, something like that?
Go lower. You're looking at,
oh, like, really? Okay, so we're like
$4 or $5. I mean, that's
oh, well, then that, well, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
So then you move up to, say, the mid-tier, lower mid-tier, and you've had
like
those
$10, $15, I guess we'll say.
Now, when you if I put them on the table next to you, I blindfolded you, I uncorked them, I poured them in two different glasses, or maybe not you, because you drink these things, you test them out. A regular person who just doesn't know wines at all, am I going to taste a huge difference between 5 and 15?
Yes, you will. You will. Because the cheap wines have a distinct taste to them that I don't know. I guess is what they put in them. I don't know exactly what you want to call the ingredient, but it gives you that nice burning sensation on the way down. And with a lot of the, like your middle class, I guess we'll call it like middle class wines don't have that. Now, actually this past weekend I was over at a friend's house and he actually poured me a glass of wine and he's like, oh, here, try this one. And I, you know, took a sip and I was like, okay, I mean, this tastes like wine. He's like, oh, he's like, well, it's certainly not what you're used to drinking, but it wasn't like this. It wasn't a super duper top shelf, but it was probably on the higher range. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't taste any difference between like a middle shelf wine and a higher shelf wine, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That I thought those were very similar. Once you get into that $15 range and a $30 range, to me, I'm like, these taste pretty much the same. I couldn't tell the difference between those. It's really the distinction between the bottom shelf stuff and anything higher than that will really get you. Because I'm like, I'm not going to spend $30 on a bottle of wine. I'll spend the $15 from time to time. Mm-hmm. And to me, it tastes the same.
Yeah. I mean, do you drink wine with dinner?
Not usually, unless I'm really out somewhere fancy. That would be the only time.
that's the thing that's hilarious. Is I remember somebody brought out a bottle of wine and they and I'm drinking it and I don't know what it was, but which is really weird because maybe 2 days before that, it was one of those days where the guys were laughing at me for drinking a wine cooler at the bar. Right. And I still, even when I talk to them now, they're like, remember that time we laughed you out of the bar when you drank the wine? So they're like, dude, that was like 30 years ago. Yeah, we still laughed you out your punk.
Yes, give it up, man.
Leave me alone. We're in our 50s now. So I go to the house and we're sitting there and everybody's, you know, oh yes, forsooth, you know, I'm gonna, oh, here we go. And everyone's trying to prove how much smarter than the next person they are. And they bring out the wine. Oh, you know, some fantastic. The double fantastic. You must swirl it around and sniff it and turn the bottle sideways and tap it. I'm like, oh my, can I just drink this crap?
You know, that was the same thing that my friend did to me the other night. He's like, he hands me the glass and I, you know, I took a sip right away. And he's like, no, you have to. Put your hand under the glass, put your fingers between the stem, swirl it around, get the aroma, smell the, I don't know, the body or whatever. I don't know all the lingo that goes into it. And I took a sip and like, dude, it tastes like wine. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh yeah, but this is, you know, a $30 bottle. I'm like, I can't tell the difference between the 30 and the 15 or the 10. I can definitely tell the difference between the $5 and the $30, but I'm like, that middle range, I'm like, it's all the same to me.
It was just the funniest thing. It was very similar to your experience, and I'm literally looking, and keep in mind, I know I'm sitting there going, why are half of these people I know are jackasses, and the other half, they're probably jackasses. I know I'm a jackass, so it's like I fit I'm right in with these losers. So, and I know all of these people. And I'm going, why are they putting on airs for each other? I don't understand. And since now you must get the body of the wine.
Just drink the wine and let's move on.
And I took a sip and I'm going, I went, oh, this is great. In the back of my mind, I'm going, this is like 1% better than that wine cooler I got laughed for. And that cost me $1.75. You know?
Yeah, exactly. That was a lot more enjoyable to drink that wine cooler than this glass of wine.
Although, because it was so similar, I was waiting for my other friends to come kicking through the bathroom door. I got him. Look at him. He's drinking that crap again. Look, loser punk. You know?
Man, tough crowd over there.
Oh, God.
That's rough.
My original friends are comics and writers. So it's like verbal destruction. They get a clean shot at your metaphorical chin. They're taking it. And,
oh, and they're not letting go at that point.
Oh, and it's what they do best. So it's like, you know, and I was like, I could take my sword out and chop back, but it's like, and now they got me this time. I got it. Yeah, I can't. I can fight back, but I just got to take the beating.
I know. You just got to sit back and say, all right, just give me your best shot. Just get it over with. Let's move on. Yes, bring up the wine cooler from 30 years ago.
Oh, it won't stop. I swear. I mean, you know, I guarantee you, this is September. Before December, I'll get 3 more of those. I guarantee it.
Hey, remember that time you drank that wine cooler? Like, yes, we know. It happened.
Yeah,
Move on.
Yeah. We were watching the Bulls win their second championship. Can you shut up? people were still debating how good Jordan was at that point.
Right, yeah. This was the second of six. Come on. It wasn't even the Last Dance yet. Let's move on.
Good Lord. Hey, isn't that Bill Clinton playing saxophone on the Arsenio Hall show?
Right, yeah.
It's the calm down over there, beauty. I got to ask you this. This is something I'm curious about. And I always, whenever I talk to somebody that I haven't actually spoken directly to voice, I'm getting to know them. I'm curious about the origin story, because stand-up comedy is one thing. It's one of those things where it's a rare breed of human being that has the stones to go do that, you know, and being one for the past 35 years, I know. But and being a podcaster for like 9 years almost, I know it's also a rare breed of people to get, once you get past 50, but you've got well past 200 and counting, what made you decide to do this and pick this specific format?
Now, it came to me one night laying in bed that I wanted to do I had an idea for a late night talk show type podcast where I'm like, I can host a show, have guests on, and have some drinks. Now, this was probably I probably had the idea like 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who's going to listen? Like, who really cares? Because prior to it, I just kind of been using Twitter just to, you know, throw random thoughts out there. And 9 times out of 10, I would be tweeting about like the Yankees game or how bad the Jets were losing and killing my spirits as a fan for my whole life. And then I started talking more and posting more about drinks and, oh, hey, I'm drinking this tonight. I'm drinking that tonight. So I came up with the idea first of starting the website before doing a podcast. So I'm like, well, before I do a podcast, let me kind of get my, you know, quote unquote name out there first and try to build some sort of audience for what we want to accomplish. So I created the website at bumwinebob.com. And at that point, we were just a regular blog posting about drinks, drinking stories, pretty much the podcast just in written form. Mm-hmm. And then in January of 2015, I went live with the podcast, doing it more in the beginning as a radio show where I had it on Blog Talk Radio. I was doing it every Sunday morning, 11 a.m., getting that hangover crowd to, to listen to the show. And so you could kind of, you know, tell stories, have guests on, but then you have a call-in number for people to call in and just BS about whatever they wanted. And just kind of over time, it evolved into a more standard podcast and just trying to say, hey, you know, I have all these ideas in my head, and if I can get them out there, then maybe people want to listen to them. Then, hey, that's fun. It's really just having a fun time, having some drinks. It's stuff I would be doing anyway, so why not record it and put it out there for people to hopefully enjoy? I mean, isn't that really all podcasting is just throw the stuff out there, you know, see what sticks.
Hold on. I'm supposed to put out something that people enjoy?
I mean, I guess as long as you enjoy it.
But you know what? I'm sick of this. No one told me.
That's it. All right. I guess you're done. Well, you had a good run, man. 9 years. Yeah. I'm sorry it had to come to an end tonight, but
I was going to say, that's too much work, bro.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about it is you know, you notice how you get your workflow down. You know, you know where all your keystrokes are for editing. You don't even have to look down. You know, you can look at waveforms and see what word it is. You know what I mean?
It's like, yeah, you know, when you see that dip, you're like, okay, what happened there? Okay, there's the a cough or something. Okay, I can just select that one, delete that.
I had someone sit next to me one time I was editing, and they're like, are you going to listen to it? I was like, that's a cough right there. Yeah. How do you know? Yeah. Really? I know.
You see that pause and there's the little bump up? Then you know.
I know what a cough looks like. I know what a microphone bump looks like. I know what a microphone bump for my phone cord looks like. You know, and people go, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, I can. I say, play it. I go, that's a microphone bump. Oh my God. Wow. That's my name. I just said my name right there. No, that's not. Yeah. My name's S. Anthony Thomas. Oh my God. How do you do that? It's because I'm staring at waveforms almost every day for almost a decade. I know what these, you know, I know what they look like. You know,
exactly.
It's just a weird
After
thing.
After a while, you just go through and you're like, okay, here we go. Clip that out, move that, delete that one, silence this, and there you go.
Do you chop out the ums?
It depends. If I listen back and I hear a lot of them throughout the course of an episode, mm-hmm. I might cut out some of them if it's really noticeable, at least to me. But I mean, I guess that's really when you listen to it back yourself, you probably had the same process, mm-hmm. and you'll listen to it back and then you'd be like, oh man, I keep saying or making whatever noises you're making throughout. Mm-hmm. You're like trying to cut them out. Or if I like that, start saying like a lot and it's going, okay, let me cut out like here and there, then listen back. Okay, is that noticeable? Is it not? So you can get really picky when it comes to editing things out. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, it's 2 hours into an editing process and you made it through 15 minutes. You're like, okay, I think I should move on and do something else now.
I just remember, this, and I laugh at myself for this. I laugh at myself harder than my friends laughed at me for the wine cooler. I remember I literally used to methodically go through, and I used to do these because with the shows I'm doing now, I'm trying to keep them to roughly a half an hour or so, maybe a little more. So I would literally kind of slide through very slowly. Listen, cut that out right there. I breathe too hard. Take that out. Right. And I'm going, I just spent 3 hours editing 17 minutes. I got to stop that. Because if you do a longer episode, you're a dead man.
Yeah, I had that recently. I did a episode, I guess about a month or two ago, where I did a Beach Boys episode. Mm-hmm. And I had a good friend of my show. Jesse was on the show. We were going through some of the Beach Boys albums. And I was actually going through and splicing in the songs under what we were talking about. And once you start doing that, that becomes a whole process. And the episode's probably about an hour and a half long, but I could tell you that the editing process for that episode, now, while it wasn't, you know, all day, every day, it probably took a good week and a half almost to get through editing, because you know, too, I mean, you can only sit there for so long in a sitting and edit something without, like, your eyes start going cross looking at the waveforms. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, I gotta get up, I gotta do something, I gotta go outside and, you know, see the sun for, you know, a few hours just to get your head back on straight. Then later that night, sit back down again, pick up the process.
Oh, yeah, it's just a weird thing, you know, to do. And it's, I don't know, man. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but you've been at it for 700 years yourself. And it's when you go back and do you ever go back and listen to really, really early episodes?
I've listened to bits and pieces because I was going to, while I was taking a few, like, weeks off in between, I was like, oh, maybe I'll throw out, like, like re-release some of like some archive episodes and put them on the feed, you know, now. And I was going through and I was downloading them and listening to them, and you know, just you go back and you listen, and like the quality is terrible. I mean, because at the time I was recording through my phone, calling into when I was doing the radio show type in the beginning, it was calling in through my phone. I had like a Bluetooth headset on, and it sounds like you're just talking on your phone for a half hour. So the quality is not very good. Now, while some of the content within the episode might be, I'll say okay. I'm not going to say good. But yeah, you go back, listen to some of those beginning ones before you really get your footing. But you can see the gradual increase of the quality as you go along. You go like, okay, the first 50, okay, 100 episodes, 150, 200. Now it almost 230 now. Okay, now you're finally at that sweet spot of, okay, I can be happy with how the podcast sounds and hopefully just keep it going that way.
Okay, so now I find out that not only do I have to create something that people want to listen to, I have to increase the quality. You're a big pain in the ass, buddy.
I'm just giving you some work to do.
You're asking for too damn much, man.
Man, just crack open a few wine coolers and get to editing.
All right, my brother, do me a favor before we wrap up here. I'm going to put your website and your podcast in the notes anyway, obviously. But for the people listening who are driving in cars and stuff like that, tell them the website and everything like that before we get out of here.
You can find the website over at bumwinebob.com. That's the Bumming with Bobcat in a blog form, where you can find the podcast there too, but along with all the other great content we have when it comes to drink reviews. We have some other people that do some posts for the site. We cover wrestling, football, sports, music, movies, pop culture, you name it. We get a little bit of everything. So it's the backbone of drinking, but there's something for everybody on the website. And you can find the podcast, Bumming with Bobcat, on all your favorite podcast apps other than Spotify, because I got kicked off of there due to copyright reasons. So you can't find me on Spotify, but every other podcast app you can find Bumming with Bobcat, and you can find me on all forms of social media at BumWineBob on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. You name it, I'm out there.
And for the listeners, I'm gonna put a link to the website and the podcast in the notes. So if you're driving, whatever you do, don't look down and start writing, because you're gonna crash.
Yeah, don't worry, it'll be there for you when you get to your destination. You pick up your phone, you can just click on that link, and boom, you're right there.
Yeah, boom, meaning you'll be right there, not boom crashing into the back of a truck.
No.
Let's calm down, people.
No. Yeah. My brother, be safe out there, everybody.
Yeah, my brother, I want to thank you for coming on, man. I can see why people dig listening to you, brother.
Hey, man, I appreciate the invite here, and I think definitely I'll have to have you come on the show sometime, too, but you got to bring along a few wine coolers, though. That's the only requirement.
You trying to get me in trouble again? Is that what you're trying to do? He's still drinking wine coolers 30 years later with a loser. Come on, man.
Well, it doesn't have to be a wine cooler. Maybe you go out to the store. You find something, you know, you'll be in the privacy of your own home. Don't have to worry about driving anywhere. Yeah, find something. We'll discuss. I'll give you a good recommendation of something you should try. Then you come on the podcast and we'll give it a shot.
I'm going to crack open some Ripple and High Karate and we're going to chat.
Let's do it. There's your concoction right there. Let's do it.
All right, my friend. Thank you for coming on, man. It was really a blast talking to you, brother.
Thanks again, man. I appreciate it. We'll have to do it again soon.
All right. Take care, my brother.
All right. Cheers.
All right. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Like I said, I had a fun time being there. I have 10 more of these. There's going to be 11 total. So over the course of this month, there will be 11 total. There will be 10 more podcasts I talk to. And I need you to understand, every last one of them was an absolute blast. We had a blast. You're going to have a blast. So thank you for listening, and be prepared for the next one coming up very, very soon. Now, do me a favor. If you are here and you got to this point where you're listening to me right now, do me a favor. That means you like the podcast. Do me a favor. Subscribe wherever you subscribe to your podcast, or wherever you're listening to this. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Also, rate and review. 5 stars, dagnabbit. And and make sure you, if you love what you hear, tell a friend and have them listen too, so they can join the party with all of us. Before I go, I just want to say thank you for listening. Much love to all of you. I appreciate all the new listeners that have come along over the course of the almost 3 years. And I look forward to hearing your feedback. And it's going to be fun playing some of these other episodes for you. So check in, subscribe, and we will have a good old-fashioned time. Much love to you, and I'll see you next time.